I said I needed a center. We'll come back to order. I said I needed a center. There's not a center I can think of more that I would need than Senator Sengem. So welcome to the conference committee here. And to apologize for folks that are here, we have about 83 things going for each of us all at the same time, and I think for those of you that have been here, you understand that. So what we'll do is we'll start working on some amendments, and it'll be my intention after a time period here to break for supper, and then I will come back and do some of the money stuff as far as the state budget portion goes. So with that, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make a motion at this time related to Article 3 in the comparison. It is House Section 14, and I am on, page 13 of the side-by-side comparisons. The motion relates to the Taylor's Falls Border City Development Zone numbers, and I would ask that the committee adopt the House provision, Section 14 in Article 3, page 13.
And then for everyone that's here, I'll be going for if there's anyone that would like to testify briefly from the audience, and then we'll go to member questions and comments. Okay, you've heard the motion, House Section 14, the House position, it's Taylor's Falls Border City Development Zone. Anyone here that would like to testify on that from the audience? For or with concerns? Members' questions?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move to Article 4, the local sales tax.
Okay, Senator Ortman.
Members, I'd like to move to the local sales taxes in Article 4. On page 14, I would like to move to adopt Article 2, Section 13, the Senate provision, which
maybe have staff describe each provision.
That'd be, yep.
Ms. Dalton, who's going to be handling sales tax issues here? Ms. Dalton. For the Senate.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Senate Section 13 strikes language related to prohibiting political subdivisions from adopting new local sales tax provisions or doing anything to promote them after May 31st, 2010, and this is an obsolete provision.
Okay, any questions or any testimony from the audience for or with concerns? Questions from members? And what I'll do here, members, too, is I apologize to Ms. Dalton. If there's a Senate provision, I'll go to the Senate research. If it's a House, we'll go to House research. I think it'll be a little better. So the questions on the Ortman motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also on page 14, I would like to move to adopt Article 4, Section 1 in the House provision. Yes, I'm sorry, the second paragraph, members, of Article 4, Section 1 in the House provision on page 14, and this is the provision that prohibits local governments from spending city funds, government money, to support passage of a referendum.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Ortman was correct. Basically, the only thing local governments would then be able to spend money for is to actually hold the referendum.
Anyone in the audience that has any questions on that or would like to testify for or with concerns? Questions for members?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Sengem.
I don't know, Mr. Chair, if we need a bit more legislative intent, but the first line there prohibits a local government from spending money on a local sales tax referendum. I think I understand what we mean, but I'm not sure it would be clear to a local government if a local government was was considering a sales tax referendum. When does this paragraph really click on? And of course, we know when it clicks off at the referendum, but I don't know. It just, and maybe we don't need to worry about it. It just seems like it could be a little unclear. In other words, Mr. Chairman, could a staff member at a city work at least preliminarily on developing some ideas or suggestions or whatever on a possible referendum? Would that be permissible?
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, what this prohibits is that they may not advertise or expend funds for the promotion of a referendum. So it doesn't mean that the city can't use staff time to develop ideas regarding what should be, what are the projects that the city needs to develop. But they cannot go out and advertise or promote. That would have to be done by an outside group.
Senator Senjum?
Ms. Dalton, I may be missing it, but does it say that someplace in statute, or is that just the way we think?
Ms. Dalton?
Chair, Senator Senjum, if you go to the House bill language on page 37, says...
Mr. Chair, I'm fine if it's in the bill.
Senator Senjum?
I'm fine, yeah.
Thank you, Senator Senjum. Any further discussion on the Ortman motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would just say that it's easy to forget that we have great big bills that support these summaries. But believe me, staff has worked very hard in developing all of these bills. Mr. Chair, Senator Jungbauer is here, and he asked to be present while we considered the Ramsey TIF provision, and I believe that Senator Chamberlain has a motion to bring that issue to the committee.
And members, you should have an amendment, an A57 amendment. Or I'm sorry, we will be passing these out. And before we would vote, members will have the language. And this will be very brief, of course, to describe very briefly what we're doing here. In fact, let's just wait a second until the members have the amendment to follow along with the senator. Okay, I think we have them. But first of all, I only have the senator move the A57 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move A57.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. If you please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair, members, Senator Mike Jungbauer. And I have with me Heidi Nelson from the city of Ramsey. And Mr. Chair and members, what the amendment does on line 1.1 is actually, I should say that on line 1.2 deletes line 6 and 7 where we had the 6-year knockdown. We're going back to the statutory 4-year knockdown. But in the rest of the amendment, what we're doing is adding in the two properties that we had spoken to the committee about in the TIF district that were actually permitted and started after the enactment of the TIF district, but before the final public hearings. So we tried to have this amendment written very tight so that we're not creating some new loophole of people putting in properties before a TIF district started and trying to get them in. These were anticipated to be in the TIF district, and we're trying to include them, though we wanted to get them permitted. And Ms. Nelson from the City of Ramsey could answer any other questions for the
Anyone from the audience who would like to testify in support or with concerns on the A57 amendment? Questions from members?
Mr. Chair, for members and those watching here, I would just point out that this is that TIF district where the developers were bankrupt. The city took over the development of the proposed projects. It really left them in a bind. These are extraordinary circumstances, and we've been asked to provide extraordinary relief here. But given the circumstances and contours of the projects and what's at stake here, I would support Senator Chamberlain's motion and Senator Jungbauer's amendment here.
Which are the same thing?
They are.
Okay. Questions for members? none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, item next.
Thank you.
Senator Ortman has a motion. Thank you, Senator Jungbauer, and to the official from Ramsey.
I appreciate
thank
the
you.
Help, Mr. Chair and members.
This one? Did we do the second one? Number three, okay. Members, if we could return to page 14 of the side-by-side comparison.
Oh, it's not the unofficial. These other two
Article 2, Section 14 of the Senate provision provides that voter approval of a local option sales tax must be accomplished before the legislature can authorize a local option sales tax. It the motion includes the first portion of the paragraph on page 14, but not the final language. And perhaps council could clarify the difference here.
We're on the Senate provision. Ms. Pollack?
Madam Chair and members, yes, the first part of Section 14 requires local approval of local option sales taxes before they may be authorized by the legislature. This is intended to be effective prospectively. The second part of the language is not that was included in the bill is not included in the motion.
Still have to say that it has a property tax, potential property tax impact.
Okay, so members, we're in the first part now. So we're splitting that, so it would say. Ms. Pollack?
Madam Chair, and. Yes, Mr. Chair, the current law would stay in effect. So,
I misunderstood that. So, what? If you could describe that again. I'm a little slow here.
Sorry. Yes, of course. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, I'm a little slow too. quite hurtful.
Mr. Chair, maybe I can.
Ms. Pollack, I'm sorry. If you can describe what we're doing here again, because I understood that incorrectly. What's the motion?
Mr. Chair, maybe I can restate the motion
okay,
or explain
the
intention behind the motion. We expect that current law would continue, which still requires that the notification with the referendum that there may be a property tax impact by the vote. So the portion of this provision that I'm trying to move right now is just the requirement that the local option sales tax must have voter approval before it can be approved by the legislature.
Anyone in the audience would like to testify on behalf of this provision or with concerns? Any members? Questions? Senator Sedgwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I hate to bog down the committee as I'm looking for the reference in our bill, but would the sales tax then in advance the referendum offer the amount, the purpose, the term? In other words, does our bill say anything about what the referendum is in terms of content?
Ms. Pollack?
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, no. This language only applies to the reference in the referendum to notice of property tax increase. So the issue on the referendum would include the projects and the specified amounts for the projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we have the Ortman motion. Any further discussion from members? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Item next, Senator Ortman.
Just the first sentence.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move to the local sales taxes in Article 4, Section 5. And I would like to move the Hermantown local option sales tax proposal, the House provision. Article 4, Section 5, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Just the first
any slides. Comments yeah. from yes. members of the audience for or with concerns? Questions from members from conferees?
Senator
Senator Ortman moves Article 4, Section 5, adopt the House provision. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Item next, Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, the clear water language for the local option sales tax is in House Article 4, Section 9, and Senate Article 2, Section 19. They were exactly the same in both, but I would move adoption of the Senate provision.
Anyone in the audience would like to testify? Any comments on this issue? Questions from conferees? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Item next.
Mr. Chair, in the interest of fairness, I would like to move the local option sales tax proposal for Cloquet in the House provision, House Article 4, Section 10 on page 15.
Okay, we understand the motion here. Senator Ortman moves that. House Article 4, Section 10, House position. Anyone in the audience have any concerns one way or the other on this issue? Seeing none, questions from conferees? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the House position for the local option sales tax proposal for Fergus Falls, which is House Article 4, Section 11. And in Senate Article 2, Section 20, I would move to adopt the House position.
You've heard the motion. Any comments from the audience? Any questions from conferees? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Item next.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the local option sales tax provision for the city of Hutchinson, which is found in House Article 4, Section 12, Senate Article 2, Section 22, on page 17 of the side-by-side comparisons, and I would move that we adopt the Senate position.
The motion moving Hutchinson, House Article 4, Section 12, Senate Article 2, Section 22. The motion is to adopt the Senate position. Any comments from the audience? Any questions from conferees? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. I will move Lanesboro, House Article 4, Section 13, Senate Article 2, Section 21. I'd like to adopt the House position. Anyone like to testify from the audience against the chairman's bill? Also supported by, where's that mayor from that's so good?
Clearwater?
The Clearwater mayor liked it.
Clearwater mayor liked it. Any discussion? Conferees? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Item next, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the local option sales tax provision for the city of Marshall, the House position in Article 4, Section 14 on page 17.
Senator Ortman moves the Marshall provisions, House Article 4, Section 14, adopt the House position. Any questions from the audience?
There's an amendment.
Senator Chambers? Yeah, I have A61 for Marshall. Senator Dames is not here.
Senator Chamberlain, if you could describe what the amendment does.
Mr. Chair, line 9, page 49, line 9, the original on bill, it simply strikes 2 and inserts 3 years. Voters at a general election will held within 3 years. Then on line 16, delete 1 and 2. Insert 1, 2, and 3.
Ms. Dalton.
Thank you, Senator Chairman.
Ms. Dalton, is this a fix for Marshall because of the timing issue?
Mr. Chair, I don't know that I think this fixes it. I think there's another amendment that actually fixes it, because what you need to do is to fix it, you have to let their hospitality tax referendum be held at a later period, and that means we have to amend 2010 law. I don't know.
Ms. Powell.
Mr. Chair, I believe there are two separate concepts. So this would provide that Marshall may have 3 years instead of two to approve the local option sales tax, and it would revise the 2010 law. So they would have until 2013 to approve the local option sales tax. I'm not sure if that's what Ms. Dalton is referring to.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what is in the House bill, which this is amending, only Mr. Chair, I haven't seen this. Can I have 30 seconds? Could you go to a different?
What we should do on this is we will lay this issue over and probably to last
right.
Supper so that we can move on here. And then because we also, members, we also need to do some work with the Rochester sales tax, which will be after supper. So after we recess.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Orkin.
I would be willing to withdraw my motion. Hopefully, Senator Chamberlain would withdraw his motion, and then we can just take this up after it's been resolved.
Yeah. Senator Chamberlain, would you withdraw your motion?
I withdraw the motion, Mr. Chair.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
I almost changed my mind there, but I didn't.
With the understanding, we will have staff work on this and come back after supper. Okay. So we have, and then just so everybody understands, we have two left, the Medford and Rochester. Rochester will be working on to get some language on that. We've been working on that. So Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the Medford local option sales tax in House Article 4, Section 15, which is on page 18 of the side-by-side. Again, I'm moving the House position.
Senator Ortman moves the House position on Medford House Article 4, Section 15. Any discussion or comments from the audience? From conferees? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Property taxes.
Just adopted. Let's go to.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move to property taxes, Article 5 in the House and Article 4 in the Senate on page 19. And, Mr. Chair, I would like to move adoption of Article 5, Sections 1 and 4 in the House language on page 19.
Is there anyone from the audience that would like to testify on the Ortman motion? Questions from conferees?
Mr. Chair, perhaps we could have counsel just explain the motion and the purpose.
Okay, Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, Section 4, the substantive part of the change is the provision that allows the seasonal recreational classification for residential facilities of 20 units or less located in a city with a population less than 2,500 that outside the metropolitan area that with a state trail in it. There's also some sort of minor recodification or cleanup of the language that's reflected in Section 4 and in Section 1, but that's not substantive. That's technical.
Questions for members?
Mr. Chair, I would renew my motion.
Senator Orman renews her motion on Article 5, Section 1, and Section 4, adopting the House language, page 19, the side-by-side. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move Article 4, Section 1, on page 19, adopting the Senate language regarding the economic development holding period.
We have a brief description also on that. Ms. Off.
Mr. Chair, members, this provision would extend, under current law, political subdivisions are allowed to hold property for future economic development. And the current law contains an 8-year holding period for property that is located within, under current law, property is exempt for up to 8 years unless it's located in a city of 5,000 or less population. This law would extend the 8-year holding period to 10 years.
Any questions from the audience or, and I should say just kind of freeze, if there's staff or the department needs to weigh in on some of these things, I don't need to sort of include that discussion. Any discussion? All in favor say aye on the Ortman motion.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Item next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move adoption of the Senate language in Article 4, Sections 3 and 9, on pages 19 and 20. And this authorizes local boards of equalization and appeal to hear Green Acres treatment appeals if they choose to do so. And that's, members, again, Article 4, Section 3 and 9 in the Senate position.
Anyone from the audience wish to make some comments? Please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Please state your representative for the record, please, sir.
My name is Reed Heidelberger. I am the city assessor for the City of Alexandria. I'm here representing the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers, MAAO. We know that senators have heard from us on this a couple times before, so we appreciate you giving us another opportunity to share some of our concerns, to highlight those and maybe some people that haven't heard them before. One concern we have with this is our local boards. We certainly appreciate the effort they put in volunteering their time to come in and hear appeals, but they're not really trained in Green Acres or have a lot of exposure to it. Their role is limited to hearing appeals on market value, and they're only required to have one trained member on the board, and that person is only required to be trained once every 4 years. And this, we feel, did not really make them well-equipped to hear and make rulings on a program that has as many complexities and as fluid as Green Acres has been lately. We feel if every local board has the power to make its own decisions on Green Acres, that will erode uniformity in the application of Green Acres law. And uniformity has been a primary goal in this program for both the legislature, Department of Revenue, and assessors. There is already an avenue of appeal for taxpayers, property owners out there on Green Acres. They can go to property tax court, small claims court to appeal that. If another avenue of appeal was desired, if change could be allowed to make appeals to the State Board of Equalization, we feel that would make rulings more uniform across the state. Would also be a little greater expertise in that board for making decisions on these Green Acres kind of decisions. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else like to testify on this issue? Okay, what was your name again, sir?
Reed Heidelberger.
H?
E-I-D-E-L-B-E-R-G-E-R? Correct.
Oh.
Very good.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Heidelberger? Or anyone else like to testify from the audience? Now I'll go to questions from members at the table. If there anybody else needs to chime in. Sarah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to point out that in the summary of the real language on page 20, you can see that the bill doesn't require the Boards of Equalization to review Green Acres. It authorizes them to do so if they choose to do so, but they are not required to do that. And so they can, for all purposes, say no. Or they can decide that they are going to do it within their discretion.
Questions from anyone at the table?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Heidelberger, you mentioned the State Board of Review, and I'm just wondering, you know, how accessible that is to landowners in terms of the frequency of the meetings and how they have to apply for a hearing.
Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck. They would meet annually, the same as a local board of appeal. It might be a longer distance for somebody to apply to get to the state board, so there would be less accessibility that way than there would be the local board. But we think it would still be a better option in terms of they would have the expertise to do it and would make a more uniform statewide application of rulings on green acre questions.
Representative Runbeck.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for anyone at the table? If you want to testify, are you here to answer questions? Or?
I'm here to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would renew my motion.
Representative Ortman renews her motion on Article 4, Section 3, and Section 9, adopt Senate language, pages 19 and 20 of the side-by-sides. Further discussion? Hearing all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Mossman, did I miss you?
Mr. Chairman, no, I mean, we can discuss this, and I can go back and talk to people at the department and see how it would affect the uniformity of Green Acres, and we can see if the issue of that the assessors are bringing forward, if there's that concern in the property tax division also, just in terms. But I understand that it's just authority, so.
I apologize for not.
No problem.
Gotcha.
No one. I was late.
Okay. Item next, Senator Ortman.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would like to move adoption of the House language in Article 5, Section 5. It's also referenced in Senate Article 4, Section 8 on page 20. Regarding the inclusion of a surviving spouse, a special property tax provision for the surviving spouse of military veterans, caregivers, and the spouses of military members that may die in active duty.
Okay, we've heard the motion. Anyone from the audience like to testify for or with concerns on the motion? Anyone at the table?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, I've been working with the department and with Ms. Zoff on some slightly revised language for our Section 5 that we'll have available soon. We're still kind of finalizing. It's substantively the same, but just kind of cleaning up some of what's there. So just so the committee's aware of it.
Mr. Hines, could you repeat yourself, please?
Mr. Chair, I said that we've been working on some slightly redrafting that Section 5, and I've been working with the department and with Ms. Zoff, and it's almost ready to go. So you could approve it and let us judgment, or maybe you want to wait and see it.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would withdraw my motion at this point, and hopefully we'll come back to it.
Motion withdrawn. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I was a little bit caught off guard by Mr. Mossman's comments, and I just want to say, Mr. Mossman, that we passed the Senate bill with that language regarding Green Acres a month ago. And I have not heard anybody from the Department of Revenue say that they have any concerns about that language. And, in fact, I got a letter from you dated today, May 12th. I think it's five pages with some of your technical corrections and issues. It's the first one I've gotten. It doesn't include anything about our Green Acres provision. So, frankly, I just want to say I'm a little surprised that that is coming up at this moment. But I would be happy to hear from you later about your concerns about those Green Acres provisions, but I am a little surprised at the timing of it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Ortman.
Did I miss that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed one. Mr. Chair, I would move on page 19, Article 2, Section 3 in the House language regarding the valuation notice.
Okay, Senator Ortman moves on Article 2, Section 3, adopting the House language, page 19. Any questions from? Let's get a little brief explanation of what we're doing here, Mr. Hines, and then we'll go first to the question. Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, Section 3 simply provides that on the notice of valuation that there be a more pronounced notification made when a property is changing classification from one year to the next, just to more flag it for the recipient if there's a change in classification.
Any questions from the audience? Any questions on the Ortman motion, Article 2, Section 3, from anyone at the table? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move House Article 5, Section 9, 16, and 17 on pages 21 and 22. They relate to the regional rail authorities and how they are referred to in the property tax statements. It is the House language. Again, I'll repeat Article 5, Sections 9, 16, and 17 on pages 21 and 22.
Okay, Mr. Who could describe that?
Not me.
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, those sections basically eliminate the regional rail authorities as a separate entity and invest all the authority that now exists with the regional rail authorities in the county boards, which in fact make up the authority of the regional rail authorities anyway. So it basically sort of sweeps their authorities and their authorities into county government itself. So kind of removes regional rail authorities as a separate unit of government.
Anyone like to testify from the audience? Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Keith Carlson with the Minnesota Intercounty Association. I have to respectfully disagree with Mr. Hines's description of these provisions. I'll start with the description of current law. The current law for the assistance provided by regional rail authorities vest in these separate legal entities the authority to own, operate, and levy property taxes and levy bonds in regional rail authorities. And those regional rail authorities can both do passenger rail as well as freight rail and can do light rail and commuter rail. And so we have several entities exercising those authorities currently throughout the state. What the provisions do in the House bill is transfer the authority that currently vests with the regional rail authorities to levy taxes to the county board. The authority to own, operate, and issue bonds remains with the separate regional rail authority. So with the enactment of these provisions, you have a very confused situation that would potentially be detrimental to efforts to both assist the retention of freight rail as well as passenger, commuter, and light rail, where if the authority wished to issue bonds, they would be looking to a third party, the county board, to actually make the levy of taxes to service those bonds. And that will potentially undermine the marketability of those bonds and, at a minimum, probably make it more expensive to service that debt. Within the greater metropolitan area, this becomes particularly problematic. The efforts to provide expanded transit opportunities within the metro area right now basically looks to the regional rail authorities to pay 10% of the capital cost of those efforts. And again, it will become somewhat confused under this. It becomes particularly problematic for Sherburne County, which is the one county outside the seven-county metropolitan area that is currently participating in the operation of an existing commuter rail facility. The county currently looks to its regional rail authority to provide all of the subsidy that is required of it as its portion of the share of the cost of the operation of North Star Commuter Rail. So I respectfully have to oppose this on behalf of counties.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify briefly on this issue? Please state your name, who represents the director, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Schreiber with the Meslin Kramer Law Firm representing the County's Transit Improvement Board
Welcome,
and the Anoka County Regional Rail Authority. Mr. Chairman and members, when the North Star extension or the original North Star project occurred, each of the counties within the corridor were expected to pay 16 2/3% of the capital cost. In the case of Sherburne and Anoka County, it was most cost-effective if Anoka County would issue the debt and Sherburne County would enter into a contractual arrangement for their proportional share of the annual debt service. And it saved Sherburne County money. The amount of the bond sale was larger, which oftentimes that results in a little better interest rate. So it seemed to be a win-win situation. The language in what's being proposed creates a very murky situation relating to that relationship between Anoka County and Sherburne County and the obligation of Sherburne County to honor their proportional share of the debt. We have one quirk as it relates to the Regional Rail Authority legislation, and that is in Dakota County, where they were, by the legislature, granted the authority to do the Cedar Avenue bus transit improvements. And so in that one case, they are using the Regional Rail Authority levies for the purpose of the bus transitway, which is in process as we speak, with a contract this year and a contract next year, and that new bus rapid transitway will then be up and operating. It'll be the first in the state of Minnesota, and in our judgment is going to be a model for many others in years to come. And this provision creates some confusion as it relates to Dakota County. So we would respectfully argue that the current system really works quite well, that it is very transparent. There is a separate line on the individual property taxpayer's statement that indicates Regional Rail Authority levy, so it's not lumped in with the general county levy. And we think the system works.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify on this provision? Okay, anyone at the table that has questions on this issue?
Mr. Chair, at this point, I would like to withdraw the motion, and we'll look at it further.
Senator Ortman withdraws the motion. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I would like to move on page 21, House Article 5, Section 14, and Senate Article 3, Section 14. I'd like to move to adopt the House language regarding the maintenance of efforts, which was, I'll let counsel discuss that. There was a difference in the two views.
Okay, Senator Ortman moves on Article 5, Section 14, Senate Article 3, Section 14, to adopt the House language on page 21. If staff could describe that. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what the House provision does is it basically suspends all of the MOEs for counties for calendar years 2012 and 2013, as long as it does not cause the state or the county to lose federal funds, and it also exempts cities from the library MOE for the same 2 years. The Senate provision is different, that it basically reduces the maintenance of effort to 90% from the amount required for 2011.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. So the motion is to adopt the House language. Any one would like to testify on this issue? Now, please state your name and who represents the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Joe Matthews, the Association of Minnesota Counties. We'd support the amendment. and I just want to thank you for bringing this issue forward. It's one of our top priorities as counties to give us a little flexibility in how we do our budgeting during the current fiscal crisis, and we appreciate the consideration. Thank you.
Anyone else like to testify on this issue? Anyone at the table that has any questions on this issue? Senator Artman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would.
Do we have someone that likes to testify?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Please state your name and who represents the record, please.
My name is Matt Burdick. I'm with NAMI Minnesota, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We would prefer the committee take the Senate position, which reduces the mental health maintenance of effort to 90% of the 2011 levels. We've already reached some consensus on this issue. There's a provision that allows the counties to reduce proportionally if state aid is reduced, and we feel that the 90% is a reasonable compromise that would still ensure that there's adequate funding for mental health services.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Questions for the witness? Okay, thank you. Questions on this issue from anyone at the table? Senator Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would renew my motion.
All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could go back and clarify for the record the motion on the valuation notice on page 19, which was actually Article 5, Section 3 of the House language. Again, Mr. Chair, it's page 19 on the valuation notice. I meant to say Article 5, but I didn't say it right. And so now I'm going to say we mean Article 5, Section 3, and adopt the House language on page 19 regarding the valuation notice.
Okay, the way we'll handle this procedurally is Senator Ortman moves to reconsider. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Now Representative Ortman moves Article 5, Section 3.
Mr. Chair, it wasn't that big a mistake.
Senator.
I'm still a senator.
you made a mistake and you forgot to move it. Okay, Senator Ortman moves that Article 5, Section 3, adopt the House language, page 19. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. With Mr. that, Chair. Members, thank you for your work on this, and thank you for everyone that testified. We will go into recess until 6:45. Please be back here at 6:45. I'd like to start promptly at 6:45. We are in recess.